Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I am MTG Peddler.
This is Onik.
All the way from Dystopian World Games, Levi Red. Levi, thanks for coming on today's show.
Hey, no problem, John.
Now, we are proudly sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com, enter the promo code TCC2021, save 10% off your whole order. Also, the program where they're buying your singles, use the same promo code TCC2021. They'll give you an extra 10% cash back. And we're partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group and Cosmic Gaming. Starting us off this week, Onik, Magic the Gathering Arena updates.
Ooh, yes. All right, so for this week for updates, there's two events going on right now. There's a jump-in event, which is pretty much your jump start, but for standard. It's going on, it started October 14th, and it's going until November 11th. Then starting on October 15th and 19th, this is just a weekend, you got a Harvest Fair. And then a weekend after that, you got another Harvest Bash, which was two pre-constructed events. You got a few rewards for those card styles. And then today and tomorrow, which is Saturday and Sunday, you have the arena open for standard, which I'm pretty sure is going to be flooded with taking turns and mono green.
I do know for a fact that the second round is going to be traditional, so it's going to be best of three on the second round, day two. So my advice would be go ahead and get your practice on day one on best of three.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what happens, day two is going to be best of three. You know,
I've already seen a few people make it to day two and they're like, what do I play for best of three?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say, good luck.
Yeah, you should have practiced, you know. Should have practiced. All right. Now, the one question I have for you, Onik, if you can answer it, do you know how much it costs for that jump-in event right now that's going on?
For the jump-in event, let me click on the link. It's 200 gems or 1,000 coins or gold or whatever people want to call it. Mm-hmm. You get one reward, but just like a jumpstart event, whatever packets you open up, you keep the cards. So you get pretty much two packs worth and something in a random uncommon.
It is pretty funny how we don't have a name for it because I call it gold. It looks like gold, you know, and then it does look like coins at the same time. So it's like,
yeah.
There's no interchangeable. There's no definition. When you go to buy it, though, does it say coins or gems?
I think it's, well, the gems are gems. I think everyone knows that, but I think it's actually called gold.
So it's called gold.
I believe it's called gold as well.
Yeah.
There you go. I call it gold. There we go. That was the Magic the Gathering Arena updates for this week. I want to let everybody know that there is some big news that's going on, that is some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And that is some theft that's been going on. There is a ring, and we know more information now than we did when it first started. It started somewhere in Indiana, and it's traveling west. The last known event was near Missouri, and I happen to be in East St. Louis as of this recording. And the date is 10/16/2021. So as we know more information, we'll let you guys know. There was five stores around me that were hit. Okay, I see other content creators reporting on different numbers and stuff, but I'm letting you know that at the time of this recording, I can confirm there's eight stores that have been hit, and the last known location was heading west from Missouri.
Jeez. Probably a bad time to say I was just on a Midwest trip out to the Midwest. Happy right. Home now.
Yeah, happy to be home. Yeah.
I kept joking about which one of my suitcases was heavier.
Oh. Horrible.
I talked to a friend of mine, man. He said, you know what they're doing? They're going to bury those cards. They're going to wait 10 years.
Like a time capsule?
Think about it, man. Nobody's going to remember anything in 10 years, though. I think he might be onto something, man.
I'm surprised it's not a more frequent occurrence.
I think it is.
They're saying these individuals had like the same book bag. So it could have been one guy. They've got like three camera footages from three different stores showing one guy. And then another location has the same footage of a book bag from that same guy, but a different person.
Different guy. Wow.
Yeah. So I think, and also too, with the amount of money that's being, and you got to remember, it's a children's card game, right? And somebody said on Facebook, group.
It is not a children's card. It's not a children's card game. Let's stop that nonsense. This is a teenage to adult card game. There's no 5-year old
teenage to middle age.
Yeah.
There's no 5-year olds playing Magic.
And looking at the podcast stats, the average listener is 28 years old. The majority of the people after that bracket would be the 45 to 54 or whatever. And I'm just
that was the bracket I thought would be first, was the 45 plus bracket. Right. Honestly.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, 25 to 54 or whatever, 28 to 54 would be the average, you know, player. But there's younger people too, because it's 13 and up, right? You know, mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people like me that have been playing since day one or whatever. You know, I wasn't playing since day one, but.
Well, I started back in the 90s. So
sure.
That was before I was a teen. But when I got back into the game, I noticed the game had been more in the 18 and above demographic. So I don't very seldom see kids at a local game store playing Magic anymore. It's more Pokemon or.
I do. And I don't want to be, you know, popping a bubble or anything, but I can record it too, because I've done it so before. And I think the last one that I had a live footage on my YouTube was me playing somebody that was right around 14, 15.
Right. He demolished you?
Yeah, he demolished me. Yeah, it was modern. It was modern. He was playing mono green. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and put like 14 land out and then kill you right now. Turn three.
Oh, no.
Turn three. And I'm like, yeah, sure, dude. No problem. You know, but. I said, ain't that card banned? He's like, no, not until tomorrow. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And this is on YouTube. You know, this is on YouTube. I'm not ashamed to lose to somebody that's younger than me, man, you know? But yeah. But going back to the topic, though, at hand real quick, you know, number one, it does open up the eyes of we should be locking this up in a safe and holding them back, you know, because we should only put up the $10 cards and below and up in the cases, right? You want anything that's higher than a $30 card, we got to go in the back or something, you know? So it does bring that to light. It does bring that to light. It hurts the Magic the Gathering community. It really does. I know there's 5 stores that I said earlier that got hit by me. One of them I frequent, and one of them I called and I talked to the manager. He's the one that brought it to my attention. Hey, man, last night did you hear about the 3 that got hit? And I'm like, what? The next night, 2 more got hit. And I'm like, what? I asked him, did you get hit? And he's like, no, we didn't get hit. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, but one of them, of the 5 near me, I know personally, and I go frequent every now and then. It's kind of scary. It hits home, and I want to help out the community any way I can. So if we do have further updates, we'll let you guys know on the podcast, okay?
All right. Yep.
Yeah, my LGS was targeted. I'm in Los Angeles, so I don't know if it's a wave or it's just like different groups of people just like, oh, that's a good idea. And it's lucrative, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. My LGS was hit twice within 30 days, the same one spot.
Wow.
Yeah. It's part of the Pokemon craze because everyone knows the value is there and they just keep targeting, you know, hitting up and taking whatever's like in those shelves, on the display and whatnot. It's a sealed product. They'll just grab it all and just go.
I'm not sure if I should disclose the information or not of what got taken, but the guy told me, you know, mostly Pokemon and then revised dual lands, basically.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
And Peddler, I know you like your revised dual lands.
I do, but that makes sense. I mean, because if you think about it, any storefront that is selling singles is they're going to have the pricing of said singles directly on the, you know, on the top loader that's sitting in the shelf. So if you're a thief and you look at something that has a $700 price tag, you're gonna take that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I mean, we all know too, like the Moxes and the Black Lotuses are back in a book somewhere, you know. They're not gonna be right out there in the front, you know.
You would pray, yeah.
Now estimated value too, the numbers are gonna be jumping around here and there. One store near me, they estimate a $500,000 hit. When I look on the internet into some other location that was, I don't know the store personally, but they estimated $500,000 hit. Now, that's a lot of money, man. And wouldn't you think when they're going state to state, this is now a federal case and the FBI is on these guys? I mean, you think the FBI's got technology also, man, you know, too. And they're like, hey, we're on to somebody, you know?
Well, what's amazing is the fact that these people are robbing the local game stores. And I mean, if they don't have the foresight to, you know, just squirrel these products away, inventory, whatever they're stealing, is they're going to be trying to offload them in the same communities that they have just stolen from. So I used to see it a lot with bike stores in Central Washington. There was a lot of, I'm not even going to cut words, drug addicts that would break into the bike stores, steal all these parts, you know, like hundreds of dollars, rims, handlebars, stuff like that. And then they get online or, you know, in their local communities and try to sell them again. And then they'd end up getting caught.
Yes. I mean, there's gonna be some cheap dual lands on eBay, guys. Make sure you snag those up.
Yeah, these cards will probably pop up somewhere, man. And I'm glad that we're all talking about it too, and we're getting out there on Facebook groups and sharing it, because you know we all want these people caught. We want this resolved. We don't want it happening to more stores, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to affect the like you said earlier. It's going to affect the gaming community negatively. It's not.
It might affect it in the fact that there's going to be people with the same, like, you know, what do they call it, a shift in power? The people that got stolen from are going to be in the, I don't know, it's crazy.
No, not at all. I understand what Levi is trying to say. He's saying, like, they're going to be in a position where they have to move stuff cheaper now because they were robbed, so they're trying. No, that's not the case at all. They're insured. If they take a $500,000 loss, they're going to get paid $500,000 out in insurance. The store is going to come out net even, just the bad feels that they were robbed.
Those cards are not going to be available to the players that want those cards, too.
Yeah, but the monetary value is still there for the store. So the store itself is not going to suffer, and it can also rebuy the cards that it wants to sell as singles if it wants to continue to do so after the robbery.
Right.
It affects nobody.
Right. And I think with the way things are going too now, where anybody can buy singles here and there on a website, and where I know for a fact I can go to a website, type in the card I want, it'll list up four or five different websites and just go, hey, it's the cheapest over here. You know. So I know on this day and age that can be done, and more and more people are doing it, and more companies are doing it. So right. if the store needs, if I walk in and say I need a red blue dual land, they're gonna be like, yeah, no problem. We'll order it over here, just come back tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, honestly, that brings up a very good point, because it might be a good shift in business model for LGS is not to have display cases, because there's no real point. Everything's online. So if a customer comes in looking for singles, they can have like a little like computer terminal set up. Like, here, check our inventory out online. We have them all locked up in the back. You know what I mean? Then we can let you look at the card and stuff like that if you want to buy it.
Yeah.
There's no benefit in having the cards physically on displayed when everything's digital now anyway.
It's pretty looking. I think the first person that did it in any local game store, the next local game store is like, oh, that's so pretty, I got to do it too. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's a different world though now. It's not 1994 anymore. And the only way you can actually physically see the cards is to go to the store and look at them. Now you can just like look at a picture at a volcanic island, whatever you feel like it. I'm looking at one right now. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one right now. I can see a volcanic island. It's beautiful.
I agree that it's not 1990 something anymore, because it's 2021, and I felt the other day I felt it was 2000-ish, and I'm like, wow, it's 2021.
Mm. All right, card of the week. We're looking at Skyclave Apparition, one generic and two white for a creature core spirit coming in at rare. When Skyclave Apparition enters the battlefield, exile up to one target non-land, non-token permanent you do not control with a converted mana cost of 4 or less. When Skyclave Apparition leaves the battlefield, the exiled card's owner creates an XX blue illusion creature token where X is the converted mana cost of the exiled card, and that is on a 2/2 body. Very good card. I actually really like this card.
It's a good card. The negative is not too bad. It reminds me of
Well, what's negative about
There's
it?
There's nothing negative about it. It's just all like upside.
It's all upside.
Hold on one second. When this card gets removed from the game or whatever, destroyed, doesn't that create an XX creature for the person that had?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. They're getting a 4/4. Let's say it's a converted mana cost of 4. Okay. So they're getting a 4/4 blue illusion token.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than whatever crazy 4-drop they played originally. I'll give them a vanilla creature any day of the week.
And that's what I'm talking about. When you look at Path of Exile for one white mana, right, which is instant speed, it gives them a land.
Path of Exile is one generic and white.
Right. Okay, two. Okay. Well, what I'm saying is, this is like an Oblivion Stone, except for it's got a body, And there's a small negative to it, a very small negative to it.
There is giving someone a 4/4 creature is not a negative. And most of the time, it's not even going to be bad.
I would disagree.
If you hit a Mox with this, they get nothing.
I would disagree, though, because when you look at cards like, I think it was that one Ravenform one where it was, you can do something and then destroy it or get rid of it and then give them a 1/1 bird. Giving your opponent anything is a negative. Okay, I don't care if it's a 0/1 creature. Giving them anything is a negative. Hey, man, we both get to draw
a card. This is why 14-year-olds beat you up in freaking FNM playing Modern, by the way.
Well, I'm telling you. If everybody gets to draw an additional card per turn, like Howling Mine, right? I've got Howling Mine in play. Everybody gets to draw an additional card. That's a negative, man. I'm giving my opponent something, right?
I used to run the crap out of Howling Mine in my, what was it? My Time Sieve deck. Mm-hmm. I love Howling Mine.
But you get my point, though. There's a small negative there. There's a price tag to it.
But to me, it's not really a downside because you should be able to plan for it, to mitigate it. I love the card. The only reason why I feel a bit odd about it now is because I got three really good three drops in white. Which is the apparition, Elise Spellbinder, and the other one is Brutal Cathar.
Sure.
But apparition, it can deal with pretty much any threat, any medium size threat that's on the board. Planeswalkers, enchantments, artifacts, of course, creatures too. Yeah, you give them a vanilla creature later on, but it's extremely rare that you lose to the creature that you've essentially given them.
I get
that. I don't think I've ever lost to the token that I've created from using this card.
I've beaten people, but I'm saying I've probably never lost either like that. I'm saying though that there's a small negative there, a very small negative.
Very small, but the
negative is so small that I would not even consider it when I'm running this card.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the token itself is flying. Yeah,
mm-mm. No, it is XX vanilla.
Yeah,
no. Vanilla. No. The token is a blue elemental, I think,
which is better than
decay. Blue illusion.
Okay,
illusion. Okay, yeah.
It's better than decay, though.
Dude, decay is awesome.
Well, let me see. You got to sacrifice.
Oh, for the record, Path of Exile is one mana. Also two.
I was right. Yeah.
I was wrong. I'm sorry, John. I was wrong. I apologize.
No worries.
I could have sworn it was one and a white. It's been a while since I played Path of Exile.
Path of Exile is like one of the best removals.
Oh, yeah.
In that color, anyway. So that's absolutely a lot to compare.
Well, I understand. I was just trying to bring up a card everybody can compare it to. You know.
Hmm.
And anyway, Swords to Plowshare, same thing.
Yeah.
Swords to Plowshare, same thing.
You can take whatever life you want. I mean, I agree. I don't like giving my opponent anything in return, but I'll give him life. That's no big deal.
All right, guys, we're gonna go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna go over. Still, we've got a big long list of stuff. We've got movers and shakers. We've got Secret Lair. We got the awards show that just happened yesterday. Top decks and much, much more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back.
We're moving on to movers and shakers. So this week, our cards that are trending down, we're going to start with Muxus, Goblin Grandee. It's slowly trending down to $9.44. I feel like it wasn't that long ago. That was like a $25, $30 card. Yeah, next. Yeah, it's fallen pretty far. Next is Fabled Passage, trending down at $5.99.
That makes sense. Rotate it out.
Yeah. And also trending down, Scourge of the Skycleaves, $6.23. Those are the cheap pickups of the week. All right, coming in at number three, from Double Masters, we have Mystic Gate, up 40% to $28.
Hold on. Wasn't that from Shadowmoor series?
Yep. All those lands have been trending up. The Firelit Thicket and Mystic Gate. I'm looking at a couple of them right here.
It makes sense. They're ramp lands.
Yeah, they're really...
Filter lands, yeah.
They're filter lands.
Yeah. I mean, they don't give you an extra mana other than just Agno.
Oh, I see it. You're not. Yeah, yeah. These are the filter ones. They're not the ones from Shadowborn. Okay.
No, they okay. got reprinted in Double Masters, and this is where it sits at right now. But I don't know if it's all just a blue white one, Mystic Gate, or if it's all of them that are going up.
I know the Firelit Thicket it was moving too last week or a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Going through my EDH decks, looking around, and found three.
Okay, so from what I'm seeing, the other ones are pretty stable right now. Hold on. Okay, so it's gonna have to be that it provides you blue when you really, really need it. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. also blue-white being really, really strong and modern right now with the decks like Jeskai Control and Reanimator and stuff. So I can just see just having blue on standby is the reason why it's going up.
Oh, yeah.
Just from what I'm looking at here. All right, go ahead, Peddler. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. Number two, we have Bloodline Keeper from the original Innistrad, up 51% to $25.99. That's number two. So that means our biggest mover and shaker for the week is, if I can find it, Curse of Disturbance, up 286% to a massive, massive $3.71.
Yeah, considering it was just like 50 cents maybe like a week and a half ago.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a Curse of Misfortunes. I think there's like a curse deck that's been going around. I think then this is a part of it.
Yeah, because Curse Cruel Reality is up too from Amonkhet. That jumped off the charts too over the past couple weeks. Like a couple weeks ago, it was like $3.53. Now it's hovering around $8.
Curse of Disturbance, I'm thinking.
Well, Curse of Disturbance is the top gainer, so yes.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I just love how most of the curses have those one quote unquote curse guy on the art. It's the same guy who's getting cursed every single time.
I love that.
He looks like a buddy of mine too, which is really funny.
Yeah.
It's totally an Easter egg too, you know. I love the Easter eggs in Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Didn't they identify that character at one point within the last few months?
I think they did. It was on Twitter.
Yeah, I thought he had a name. He was actually
Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck the Curse Guy.
Chuck the Curse Guy.
Now, Levi.
It's because he's wearing that puffy shirt. And that's what his problem is.
And that hair.
I know. Look how pompous that freaking hair is. You can tell. That like if you have that hairstyle, you're I automatically think okay, you're a jackass. And if you have that hairstyle out in the listeners, I think you guys are great. I'm just kidding.
Now Levi, I want to turn to you for a quick second here, bud, because I'm a big fan of your content. Okay, what really really got me recently was that video you had posted on YouTube about, or was it on Facebook, where you went around with a baby stroller and you were giving out.
Yeah, I know.
You're giving out magic cards to complete strangers, told kids to pull out handfuls, and you put a $100 card.
Yeah.
So I just want to say real quick for people that don't know about Dystopian World Gaming, how can they get a hold of you?
I run the. I mean, right now, a lot of my business has been in disarray due to I've been moving. Like I moved my family into a 3-bedroom and now I'm turning the loft that the 6 of us were sharing into my office. So a lot of stuff's up in the air, but if anybody wants to check it out, it's Dystopian World Games at YouTube. I'm on Facebook with the game group Dystopian World Order. I'm pretty frequent in the MTG marketplace. There's so much to do. I have a Twitter. I just can't remember what the handle was.
That's okay. You put all that.
It sounds like me. It sounds like me. I have no idea what my Twitter handle is.
You just put all the description on your YouTube stuff, you know, about, put in the about section. It's a lot easier for people that later on want to get a hold of you, you know.
Well, just like I said, I have 4 kids. So by typically when I shoot my videos, they're off the cuff. I have no preparation. I just turn the camera on and I let it happen. And by the time I'm done with the video, my kids are climbing into me, so I hit the upload button and the rest is just responding to comments.
I had a chance to talk with you before the show, and I had let you know that the mission statement for the Cryptic Commander. So I want to express again that it means so much to me to have you on today's show because of what you stand for and what you're doing. Oh, no, man, really, thank you, because
I appreciate you having me on.
You know, the Cryptic Commander, we're able to give away stuff thanks to our partners and our sponsors. And you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart from your own pocket. You know,
well, I got too much of this stuff. So every now and then it's nice to just throw handfuls of cards at people at the local fair. They help me. I don't look at it as a charity thing. I look at it more as they're helping me downsize and not drown in all this cardboard.
There you go, man. There you go. Onik, I know you've been digging up some stuff about a new secret layer in October they just came out with, right?
Yeah, so the Super Drop for October, it's got a lot of it in there. This is also including the Stranger Things. But yeah, I could just go over everything real quick. But I think everything together, if we want to get the whole, like, which they call a Bootacular Bundle?
Sure. The Super Drop, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It says bundle twice. Anyway, it's about $450. If you buy them all individually, it'll cost you like $550, so you're saving $100, sort of. But yeah, the secret layer.
Are you though? Are you?
I'm actually saving $550. I'm not buying a single one of these.
Yeah. Are you really? Go ahead.
The one, I mean, it's got Stranger Things on there, which is, it's going to feel, is it just like the Walking Dead one?
Sure.
But I don't watch the show, but it's got Will the Wise, Mike the Dungeon Master, Max the Daredevil, Lucas the Sharpshooter, Eleven the Mage, Dustin Gadget Genius, Chief Jim Hopper, Mind Flayer the Shadow, which I guess is the bad guy in the show. I don't know. And a clue token, which a clue token is that one thing I've seen all over the internet with the whole alphabet on the wall with the lights and whatever.
Oh, nice.
So $550 for a clue token. I'm cool.
No. That's the price of the Super Drop. If you get this in foil, it's $50.
Yeah, but that's one part of it. Then the other part is you got Mirrodin Sanity, which is the artifact lands from Mirrodin, which is
pretty cool.
I find it a little bit difficult to look at. It's visually really interesting, but it's also like a lot going on.
I don't like the art at all, but I love these lands.
It's pixelated or something.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's unique, that's for sure. I think my favorite one is this one here, which is the Monster Anatomy 101, which you've got Gishoth, the Sun's Avatar, which is that three, which is a dinosaur, Protean Hulk, Ilharg, the Raised Boar, Goblin Trashmaster, Fleet Swallower. It's pretty much like the creature itself, but it's kind of like... not a cross section, but it has like an anatomy picture of it, whereas like kind of with a bubble, like this is this body part and this is that body part and so on. It's really cool.
Ooh.
Then you got Monster Movie Marathon, which is your Graf Digger's Cage, Dismember, Blasphemous Act, Beast Within.
Ooh.
Yeah, these... Okay, I changed my mind. These are probably my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, so far, yeah.
Yeah, I think this member might be number one for me, but these are like your classic horror movie vintage posters or whatnot.
I bet that Graf Digger's cage looks cool.
Yeah, it does, because like a cage just also kind of have like this bleeding blood effect, whatever, whatnot. It looks really, really nice. Then you got Redefined Print, which is five cards in this one is Liliana's Contract. And then it's got those four demons that, if I remember the story correctly, which I probably got it wrong, it's the four demons that are either hunting Liliana or Liliana's hunting them.
Okay, cool.
Razaketh, the Foul-Blooded, Kulthafed, Soul Hoarder, Grizzlebrand. Just Grizzlebrand.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
And, and then Demon Lord. And then you got Demon Lord Belzenok. That was tough to read.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. These are all have the same art style, which are really nice. Still got more. Then you got a showcase.
Yeah, I had to pull it up. Now I'm looking at it.
Yeah, then we got a showcase, which is the Midnight Hunt. These are the 10 rare. I don't know. They're not dual lands, but these
slow
are
lands.
Like, no, they're not slow lands. They all tap. They all tap for colorless. They're the ones that, for example, Gavinny Township. It taps for one colorless, or it has an activated ability for two white green.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Put a counter on your creatures. These are all done in black and white. They're all black and white. It looks really nice. I think Nephalia Downyard is a Drown Yard, rather, is a popular one, as well as Keswick Wolf Run. These are nice.
You know what's going to be next, man? You know how we got the artist sketch and the D&D monster manual look, and then you got the extended art, and you got the black and white. You know what's next, man? Completely white with black outline, like a sketch. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be nice.
Come on. Yeah. What are they going to do next? I mean, every time they're going to market something, it's going to be like, you know, they know people want this stuff, man. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, there's still more to this. You got Thrilling Tales of the Undead, which is a group of three. You have Lilia. Actually, is it all Lilia? Yeah, go ahead.
Those are looking like throwbacks to like the old 1930s monster movie posters. And
yeah, you got three of them. You have Liliana. Where is it? Death Majesty. Hmm. The display on these cards are pretty unique, so I took a second to find the card name, even though it's the biggest text on here. Liliana's Death Majesty is one. Rise of the Dark Realms and Grave Crawler. Yeah. So that's all of them. So what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 drops total.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Wow. Yep.
I mean, 450 is also a lot, and I think it gives you some foils and non-foils, but still, it's a lot of cards. So if you're a collector, this is something that you're going to get, I'm sure.
This is one of those products they didn't tell us about in the showcase premiere, right?
I don't think so, no.
No. So, I mean, there's more products out there we don't even know about yet, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I was looking earlier at the Secret Lair because I have pre-orders in on the Summer Super Drop. What was it? The Totally Refreshing and
sure.
Or All Natural. Yeah. I think it was All Natural and then the Totally Refreshing, and then they combined. So I got the foils and the non-foils that were supposed to ship. I believed it was this month, but I haven't heard word back. And like, I think I put that order in June or July. So these are probably going to be out. God knows how long.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that would be great.
Next Halloween, more than likely, because it's all bootacular. It'll be next Halloween you get these things. And by the way, for those interested, they do go on sale in one day and 15 hours from the time of this recording, which is 8:30 Saturday on the East Coast. So these things are going to be going live. Monday morning, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I've got in my hands the results for the Magic the Gathering Content Creator Awards. I was blessed to watch it the other day. Did anybody else watch it by any chance?
That was
I had not had a chance to yet.
All right. So I was the only one. All right. Well, I actually wrote down the categories and the winners.
Mm-hmm. So
without any drum rolls, we're just going to get right into it here. You know how we do it over here on the Cryptic Commander. So best small podcast is how the show started off. Okay.
Not us.
And the Cryptic Commander was in that category, by the way. The Color of Magic, which is hosted by Daquan Watson and Brian Allen, which also happened to be the hosts of the awards, by the way. There was no coincidence that there was...
The winner is me. Moving on.
Yeah, there was no...
No, hold on. They do really, really good work over there. Yes. I like Daquan a lot.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of his.
Same here. And actually, that's who I voted for in the first place was Daquan Watson, man. or was a second pick. I can't remember, but I'm just saying that I'm also a big fan. And the thing about it is I'm just letting everybody know that it was not fixed in any way. Peddler, you probably know of anybody. We work behind the scenes on the Discord server with the award show. So there was no fixing on anything. It was actual real count of votes. The winner was The Color of Magic. Moving on, small podcast. And
speaking, before we move on, Daquan, I did get the check. Thank you so much, my friend.
Podcast.
Yeah, my vote can be bought.
So podcast medium audience was Brainstorm Brewery. So Brainstorm Brewery got it for the best medium podcast. The best large podcast. Should be no shock here. Strictly Better Magic the Gathering, SBMTGE. I'm sorry, SBMTG, which stands for Strictly Better Magic the Gathering.
As now, Dev, is that Dev from the place?
That is Dev. That's Dev.
That is Dev from the place. Okay.
Yeah, he does the budget decks on YouTube. Really good show. Right. Really good show, man. I'm not sure if he even knows yet that he won yet, but yeah. Congratulations to all the winners. There's more categories. Best Magic the Gathering writer was Emma Partlow. Best Magic the Gathering streamer for small audience was Elder Dragon Skype Lander.
Nice name. Nice handle.
Best Magic the Gathering streamer for medium audience was Daquan Watson again. And then Best Magic the Gathering streamer large audience was MTG Nerd Girl. And for the listeners that don't know, MTG Nerd Girl also, she writes for, I think it's Star City Games, but I know it's one of them. And she also is a co-host on the Magic Mike podcast. Go check that out if you guys didn't know about it. There's more categories. But before I go into the other categories, because there's even the Peddler, the one you were in, and the Content Creator of the Year and all that other stuff too. Before I go on, in the middle of the show right about now is when they did a little music montage. And because this year's theme, which is the third annual, right? This year's theme was international. And where are you from? So they snuck it in like this little computer, Japanese animation. I don't know what the kids use nowadays terminology for this, but they came in and they acted like they were a hacker. They were taking over the award show and they said, start protocol this. And then who are you? Where are you from? I'm looking at your computer and checking out your database. And then they showed all the content creators and who they are and who they're from. Paws was in there. I was in there. Andreas. I don't know what country he's from, but he's really cool too. Peddler, you were in there too with your I'm stuck in.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, man. It was real great, man. Funny. He put up everybody's little logo and he told everybody too that he had help with this, you know. And I'm telling you, man, I cried, bud. I cried. That little music medley right there, the montage, it really got me, bud. The hairs on my arms went up and stuff. And so best Magic the Gathering article for Magic the Gathering was Dan Bosco, Moderately Anonymous MTG. For Magic is a sport and requires good sportsmanship.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Best YouTube channel small audience was Chain of Commander. For medium audience on YouTube was Daquan Watson again. The best YouTube for large audience was Pleasant Kenobi. There you go.
I'm a fan of him.
I'm going to ask him if he would like to come on the podcast and be a guest. I know he's got a lot of projects and time is of an essence, you know, but I'll ask him. Best Magic the Gathering video, single video. Now, one of our friends that came on the podcast, Will Hall, he was in that category for MTG Beats Bullying.
Nice.
Now, if you guys didn't watch that video, I do recommend the listeners go watch that video. He showed how he raised the money by doing a Twitch streaming and all the donations went to the kid that was being bullied, you know, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the one that did win was who was the biggest villain in Magic the Gathering by Pixie Kitten Plays. I went and watched it, and you know they show Emrakul, the Antorns, and I can't remember the other ones, Nicol Bolas, Planeswalker, stuff like that. And the very end result, they're like, okay, now the answer to who is the biggest villain in Magic the Gathering was Magic the Gathering Twitter.
I thought it was gonna be WotC because that is in fact true.
So I just want to let you know. So I know, spoiler alert, I should have put a spoiler alert warning there. It looks like got six more categories. So best Magic the Gathering artist market was no surprise there, Seb McKinnon.
Overrated.
Best Magic the Gathering artist aftermarket was the Proxy Guy.
Yeah.
Best MTG blog or website was Cube Cobra. Now, if you guys remember, we had the guys from the Curiosity Format. They were nominated for that award as well.
Oh.
Best Magic the Gathering new content creator. Now,
Pedro, not me.
That was your category. Commander Mechanic took the award for that one.
I voted for him.
People's, I did too. I don't remember what spot. I think it was.
I voted for him. I watched his stuff. I was like, oh, this guy's actually really good.
I think it was.
He earned my vote.
I think it was the third one or the second one. I can't remember. It was the third one. People's Choice Award, CEDH Brazil. And then last but not least, the content creator of the year was, without a doubt here, man, Daquan Watson, a.k.a. Power Dragon. But yeah, so congratulations to Daquan and the rest of them. You know, congratulations. We know that we were nominated, but that's okay. Just getting as far as we did, we feel like winners, you know?
Yeah, we still got the shout-out.
That's right. A lot of shout-outs. There was 3 shout-outs for the Cryptic Commander in that video, by the way.
Nice.
I still feel like a loser.
Well, you are, but...
I am.
Second place. We'll give you second place.
I'll tell you what, Pedro. We'll make you feel like a winner. We'll give you top decks this week. Does that make you feel better?
Oh, God, I got to talk more. Okay. All right, moving on. The top decks. So this week in Standard, guys, we have Mono Green taking the top spot with actually 16%, almost 17% of the meta now. So that's like becoming the leader of the pack by a pretty wide margin now. Followed by Is It Epiphany, and then Is It Dragons coming in at number 3.
Is it
with a shout out to White Weenie as the probably best of the tier 2 decks. Yeah, Is It's all over the place in Standard.
Yeah, it's probably flooding the arena open today.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It is. Whatever.
And going into Modern, Is It Spells, number 1.
Is it?
Rogue and Unclassified, number 2. And Pure Steel Combo is number 3. I think that's a new addition, right?
I think it's Hammer Time. It's is Modern,
it?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's not Is It.
Is
I'm
it?
Trying to. I'm trying to think what colors it is, but I think it's Hammer Time. I think it's.
I already got rid of it. Hold on, I can tell you right now. I think it was 4 color.
I think it's what was it, Colossus 4, Hammer?
4 color minus green.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's a Colossus Hammer, whatever it is. A 1 man equipment. The creature gets +10/+10, loses flying.
I love that card.
Yeah, and it just finds a way to equip it for free and just smash you in the face.
It's so horrible. One of my buddies built Hammer Time, and I've got to pilot it, and I've got to be on the receiving end of that stick and rock. So
if the creature loses flying and then you give it flying, does it have flying now?
Yes.
That's so silly.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Who cares if it loses flying? Okay.
It's a heavy hammer.
For sure.
Yeah, just put them back in the air, and it... does still, the work for you, like still, scrubbing bubble.
Still got the heavy hammer, yeah.
Moving on to Legacy. Top deck is going to be Blue-Red Delver, then Death and Taxes, and 3-Color Elves.
When you said Blue-Red Delver, that's Is It.
It is Is It.
but Is It.
Then Vintage. We have Mud Stacks is number 1, followed by a good old-fashioned Bug, Blue, Black, Green, and Underworld Breach coming in at number 3. And if you guys want to build that deck, it's only $75,000, so go nuts.
Sweet. Will do.
Whoa. Is that with the Alpha Duel lands?
No, it's going to be the basic revised duels. I'll take a quicker peek real fast too, just to kind of say.
That's wild. That's.
Or if you're feeling got the deep pockets, you can go for the $82,000 version of the deck.
Might as well. It's only a couple $1,000 difference.
Yeah. And we don't want people thinking you're cheap, do you?
Nah, man.
lands. Now it's revised because Underground Sea is $900. So
yeah,
it's revised.
I think with those, they always give you the quote-unquote budget-friendly version.
I keep thinking like that a year ago, revised dual lands were, what was it, man? Like, I think the Volcanic Island was only $200, and then just this year happened, and they are unattainable for anybody on a budget now.
Oh, that's when I started loading up on them, when they were like $300, $400. And then all of a sudden, like, I looked at them like $1,200. I'm like, well, I guess it's time to sell.
Yeah, I'm still I am still kicking myself for that.
I appreciate everyone that has caused that big spike in the revised dual lands, because I made a decent amount of money off of that. I appreciate all of you.
That's all the pandemic.
That's why they call me the peddler. Moving on,
it is.
Pauper. We have mono red burn, mono black control, and black blue fairies. No real change there. In Commander, unfortunately, we don't have Slothy here, so I'm just going to breeze through the top five real fast because I don't know what any of these decks are. We have Lathriel, Atraxa, Omnath, Golos, and Rograk, Song of Ragra.
Good to see old Golos hanging fourth place when he got banned, right?
Yeah, still.
You can't kill me.
Yeah.
And I'm we're going to... Oh, good.
I was about to say, I just built Commander Rograk Jeska as soon as Worldfire got unbanned. I've got a lot of friends that I'm trying to settle some scores with over that card.
I'm like the only non-Commander player on Earth. It's so great.
I don't play Commander either.
Me and Onik are the only non-Commander players on Earth. Oh, hold on, guys. Hold on, everyone. We're like almost what, like an hour into speaking amongst ourselves, and no one has congratulated Onik on being married this week or last week.
Oh yeah, that did.
So a big shout out to Onik. I apologize, I did not think to do that sooner, but congratulations to you and your new wife. Hope you guys have infinite happiness in everything you guys do.
And what is her name? What is her name, by the way? Congratulations, bud.
Thank you, Kimberly. She Yeah, we actually,
poor Kim. Now Kimberly's doxxed for all the world to know. My wife's like, don't even talk about me. Don't talk about me at all. Like,
okay. She actually posted the picture of us holding the card, True Love's Kiss. She had it displayed at the wedding. And what I had no idea, but our officiant at the wedding used to play Magic.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking for like half hour. That like she was like, oh, she was thinking of building another deck and whatnot. She was very casual into it. But
check out the Cryptic Commander podcast.
You know? Yeah, and I'm like, yo, you used to play? Now I love you too. Like, oh my god, this is wild. It was really interesting. Like, I had no idea.
Was that it?
Yeah, thank you.
Decks? Was that it for
top decks? No. Okay. And to round out top decks, we're going to hit Pioneer real fast. So we have Boros deck wins. What is this? I can't see. It's blue, green, white spirits, and Is It Phoenix is going to be your top three Pioneer decks. That is top decks for this week.
Oh, Historic on there? Well, Historic got probably shooken up.
Didn't I say Historic already? I thought it was maybe I didn't. Maybe I just like kind of glanced over and didn't even look. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you're right. I did not. So Historic is going to round out top decks this week. And we have Rogan Unclassified coming in at number one, followed by Mono Black. And then Selesnya Company is number three.
Again, Nonique, I want to say, man, that Peddler's right. I forgot to mention that. I do want to mention that we lost somebody in the Magic the Gathering community. Long time, it was ex-CEO at this point, right? Brian Goldner passed away. We're saddened to hear about this over at the Cryptic Commander, and we just want to let the listeners know that he was a visionary. He believed in the power of games and to make a possible difference in the world, And so our hearts go out to his family for sure.
Yeah, I think he was I think it was cancer that pretty much did it, unfortunately. So yeah.
It's horrible.
Very, very unfortunate.
Now that we took the wind out of our sails.
Yeah. I do want to say, before we go over to Beginner's Corner, that we do want to shout out to the Tier 2 decks that are out there. We know we don't give a lot of love to these guys because we talk about the top decks, right? But you got to keep in mind, too, that there's a lot of decks that if you just go home brew it yourself, like the white weenies that are life gain, they're doing real good. You can see they're in fourth place in standard right now, right? When these decks do good, but they're not good enough to be like the top three, we call it tier two, you know? So we want to shout out to the people that are creating decks that are tier two that have the ability to be tier one in the right hands, you know? When you don't make any play mistakes, when you're on your A game, you got your card draws, everything's going right. You know, it can happen. We're not denying that any iota, you know? We're not denying that one bit. But, you know, but really, you know, a shout out. And so we want to give credit where credit's due. You know, there's people out there making extra turn decks. There's people out there. I mean, and we're talking about standard, right, Onique?
I mean, any format. It was with a standard, modern, pauper, kitchen table, whatever the format is.
Yeah.
You've always going to have your established top decks that we just read out. But there's always going to be, you know, decks that are like 5th, 6th, 7th, 10th on that list. That can still perform well and they still have a chance to beat these other decks. I'm right now hosting, actually I have 5 pods of 8 players for a traditional historic tournament that I'm holding on Arena. So I got 40 people playing.
Don't even know how you do it.
I don't know either. But I talked back and forth with a bunch of these guys, and one of my buddies, Connor Pitta, he pretty much said it like, you know, there are decks that you're pretty much your rogue and unclassified. They're like decks that, you know, you not that many people know of, or at least that they forgot about, maybe, that can come up and just kind of, you know, get between the cracks and, you know, and have a potential to take over the meta. Not take over the meta, but take over a tournament. Mm-hmm. But they're not quite persistent enough to really dominate the meta. They, you know, they're the decks that can get you to Mythic, but maybe not top 1200. Right. You know what I mean?
And me and Peddler were talking about it before the show, too. We looked at White Weenie and Standard as an example, and it was fourth place, right? And what, Peddler, wasn't like 7% of the meta?
7% of the meta.
Yeah, 7% of the meta. So, I mean, you look at it as, we're noticing it, you know, we see it in our stats, and we also have stats that update in real time too.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in our stats, you know, that, I mean, the last I looked, Epiphany was at 13%, even though some people are reporting 10%, you know, so I'm just saying that, and also too, I told people last week, there's no way they're going to ban Epiphany. There's so many people talking about it on Twitter, on Facebook, there's no way they're going to ban it. And that was something we should have covered tonight was the bannings. They had bannings and suspensions and historic format and stuff. But not standard, right? And everybody was screaming, get rid of that Epiphany, man. But
I just wanted to interject right there. I was amazed over all of the talk on Epiphany that it didn't get banned just from the buzz it had.
That's what I was talking about. And I looked at the statistics and I'm like, guys, it's like right around 13% of the meta. You know, or at the time, I think it was 10%. You know, but so I just want to say that, you know, if it's not in 67% of the meta, it's not going to get banned. It's not going to get banned. Okay.
Well, Epiphany was was represented 9 or maybe even 10 times out of the 16 decks.
That was just in one setting, right? And when we look at the meta, we're not looking at just that professional setting. We're looking at Friday Night Magic. We're looking at people's kitchen tables. We're looking at a lot of different things here, you know. We are. Even though we're playing that format, we're looking at Star City Games. We're looking at other people, too, that I can't remember on the top of my head.
Googlandia, MTG Melee, all these things.
Melee just started. Right. You got the Red Bull Untapped going on, too. So, that was just one tournament, man. You know, 16 players does not determine the meta. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what I'm glad about is that we're talking about this out in the open because there's not a lot of shows out there that are talking about this, you know. But we are running out of time. I want to say, again, Levi, thank you for joining us this week.
Hey, man. Like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm glad that I was able to, you know, it's nice to participate every now and then in the midst of chaos that my life has become in the last couple of years. So. I'm trying to get more in. What's the
stability?
You'll be seeing more of me.
He's gonna make more content. What are you saying?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Hopefully.
We're going to go ahead and we're going to end this show with Beginner's Corner. And Beginner's Corner this week is just one sentence, basically. If anybody's looking to play a game, if you have that itch and you're like, man, I wish I knew more people to play with, check out our Discord server. We have a Discord server. And if you want the link, check out our Facebook group. We've got Magic the Gathering Players Group. It's a Facebook group. It's called Magic the Gathering Players Group. And also the Cryptic Commander Players, the Cryptic Commander Facebook group. The link for that Discord server is going to be in both of those Facebook groups. When this finally makes its way to YouTube, it'll be in the description below. So that was this week's Beginner's Corner. If you are feeling the need to play a game and you don't have anybody around, remember that it's just a phone call away. You know, it really is.
Oh, yeah.
Please, if you guys can, help support the podcast. All you have to do is click on the support button. If there's any link to the podcast, like what is it? Anchor is one of the main ones, which is Spotify. There should be a little support button. You know, we do have one supporter, Justin Hill. So a big shout out to Justin Hill. Thank you so much for your continued support. And until next time, keep spell slinging.